that I'm blessed that I can still go back to the churches that I've pastored. Not all can do that. The Lord has blessed in that way. Once again, we'd like to turn to the book of Numbers, chapter 13. And we'll also be looking at a few verses in chapter 14. Chapter 13, verse 30. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." Chapter 14, we'll read verses 6 through 9. And Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, "The land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land. For they are bread for us, their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not." Again, God had delivered Israel out of Egyptian bondage, again a type of salvation. Upon doing so, before he did so, he promised Moses that he would bring the people to a good and large land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 10 through 11, we see that Israel would enjoy the benefits of this land. There would be cities which they did not build that they would enjoy the benefits of. There would be houses that were full that they did not fill or build. And again, they would enjoy the benefits of. There would be wells that they did not dig. There would be vineyards and olive trees that they did not plant. But they would enjoy these things. So what he's telling them is it's a life lived as the beneficiaries of God's grace. That's what Canaan represents. And coming to the book of Numbers, God again he's set the land before them. It's right there. Now, all they are to do is to go in, follow God's orders, and possess it. Right before them is the opportunity to possess God's best for them. And I believe that's true of you and I every single day. With the blessed promise of God right before them, the people request of Moses that they send in spies, one from each tribe, to spy out the land. When the spies returned from their mission, they did so with an abundance of fruit, marvelous fruit from the land. And they had a glowing report of the riches of the land. And no doubt, when the people saw the fruit and when they heard that indeed the land is a land that flows with milk and honey, people were filled with excitement and anticipation. But the excitement and the anticipation quickly evaporated with the words of the 10 spies. We see that in verse 28 and 29, verses 31 through 33. And the people, with hearts of unbelief, were more swayed and more moved by the report of the spies, the 10 spies, than they were the Word of God. So they have the promise of God right before them. a better life right before them. And because of unbelief, they failed to enter into the enjoyment of such and lived out the remainder of their days wandering in the wilderness. Now the verses that we read a little bit ago are the words of two of the spies, Caleb and Joshua. Two faithful men, two men who would enter the land of Canaan. And Caleb and Joshua stood in the midst of the clamor, stood in the midst of the commotion of unbelief, and basically reminded the people of God and exhorted them to go forward and possess what God had placed before them. And of course, in time, Caleb and Joshua would enjoy that land. This morning, we spoke on the failure of spiritual conquest. Tonight, we just want to speak on spiritual conquest. Spiritual conquest. Again, the land of Canaan. It's not really a picture of heaven because there's enemies there. There's battles to be fought. But I do believe it is a type of the possession, enjoyment of God's best. God's best here on earth. It is a symbol of a better and more enjoyable life on this earth. It is a picture of a higher plane of living for the Lord. It is a picture of life in fellowship with God, having daily communion with God, walking with the Lord. It is the abundant life upon this earth. And as children of God, that life is right before us. It is ours. It's been given to us by God. It is ours to possess. And there is no good reason. There is no good reason for you and I not to possess what God has given us. There is no good reason for you and I to be losing the spiritual battle. There's no good reason to be losing spiritual ground. We have the weapons that we need. We have the manual for the warfare. We have the Holy Spirit living within. And there's that blessed life right before us. We are to possess it. We're not to come short of that life. First thing we want to consider is in possessing God's best, there are obstacles to be overcome. There are things in the way. And these things must be overcome. God did not say to Israel, "There's the land that I have for you. I have removed all the obstacles. I have removed all the difficulties. I have removed all the potential problems. Now you go and enjoy it." It's not what God said. But rather, you look at God's promises and God's instruction regarding this promised land, and both by direct reference and implication, there were many obstacles. If they were going to enter that land, there were many obstacles standing in the way. And that's still true today. There it is right before us. But there are many obstacles that stand in the way. And many times we are ourselves the biggest obstacle. But think of some of the obstacles. It were the enemy nations. These nations were fierce. They were a warlike people. And they were very much opposed to God's people. The 10 spies spoke of these enemy nations in their report and said in reference to them in Numbers 13 and 31, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. Among these enemy nations, there were the Hittites, there were the Girgashites, the Amorites, there were the Canaanites, there were the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites. And maybe one of these days we'll look at all of those nations individually, because they all had various characteristics that picture our obstacles today. But they had all of these enemy nations, and they were enormous. That was an enormous obstacle. Even if you got past one, there was another, and then another, and then another. They were monstrous. They were a menacing people, and you can see that from the report of the 10 spies. They were very intimidating, and they were frightening in the eyes of man. And you could see that also in the report of the 10 spies. And I believe these enemy nations represent problems. They can represent troubles and burdens. They can represent worries and obstacles and stumbling blocks and distractions and irritants and threats standing between us and the enjoyment of God's best. There's always obstacles. There's always obstacles in this life. But right before us is the life that God says we can have. But between us and that life, there are these enemy nations. There are these obstacles. There are giants. Giants who oppose us. Giants who oppose us entering into the land. Giants that are out to devour and discourage us. And these giants, they're there in the morning, they're there at noon, they're there at night. They're always there. They need to be faced. And they need to be overcome if we're going to enter that promised land, if we're going to enter the life that God has for us. These giants or enemy nations seek to overpower. They seek to intimidate us. They seek to distract, fill us with fear, fill us with confusion. They seek to make our lives chaotic. Anything to keep us out of what God has promised is ours. They have to be overcome. Now, these giants, of course, can take on a variety of forms. It can be problems. It can be concerns. It can be your children. That infant can be a giant. It can be parents, it can be careers, it can be loved ones, it can be health, it can be sickness, finances, fear in general, doubt, anger issues, bitterness, on and on we can go. All of these are giants, all of these are enemies that will keep us out of the life that God has for us. But they're everywhere. And they can be a spiritually paralyzing force, as it was with the children of Israel. So right before us is God's best. God's promise. And the best life there is. But there are enemy land. There are enemy nations. There are giants in the way. And even if we cross Jordan and we enter into the land of Canaan, the giants are there. They not only stand to block our entrance, they're there once we enter that life, and they must be overcome. And this is where Israel failed miserably. Book of Judges, chapter 1. We see one tribe after another is mentioned. And it says they did not drive out. And it mentions the enemy, whether it be the Hittites, the Amorites, whatever. They didn't drive them out. And what did they do? They learned to live with the giants. They intermarried with them. They began to worship with them. And soon there was no difference between the enemies and the people of God. In other words, they learned to settle in with the enemy nations. And it kept them from enjoying the land of Canaan. And Israel's failure to drive out the enemy, to destroy them, we are paying for today. We're paying for that today. Isn't it amazing? We've gone from kill them all to embrace them. That's where we've come. That's how far we've come. So there were enemy nations. There were also walled cities and fortifications. This also was spoken of in the report of the 10 spies. Chapter 13 and verse 28, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. It said in Deuteronomy 1, 28, the cities are great and walled up to heaven. And again, behind those walls were great and powerful enemies. And we know that as soon as Israel would step into Canaan, immediately they're faced with one of those walled cities, Jericho. And if they're going to move any further into the land, they have to get past Jericho. They have to get past that walled city. These were powerful fortresses. Fortresses that had to be conquered. These walled cities were massive. No doubt were menacing and intimidating, as you see from the report of the 10 spies. They were barriers. They were impediments in the way of God's people. Fortresses of resistance against God. They're everywhere today. There's fortresses of resistance everywhere we turn. In our own lives, these walls are massive. In our own lives, these walls and fortifications are many. And they are meant to obstruct us. They are meant to disrupt our lives and interfere with any form of spiritual advancement. And these fortresses or walled cities come just like the giants in many forms. An enemy fortress in our life is anything in our life that is contrary to God. And these fortresses pose a threat to our spiritual progress. They are a hindrance to our spiritual growth and progress. There are many forts, and we build many of them. There is the fort self-sufficiency, fort self-righteousness, fort anger, fort bitterness, fort discouragement. The forts are many, And we all have them in our lives. And they are there to keep us from advancing into this life that God has for us. So there were the enemy nations. There were walled cities. There was the Jordan River. Before Israel would pass into the promised land, that Jordan River had to be crossed. Nearly 2 million men, women, and children with their baggage, the herds of their animals, they had to cross that river. Normally, that was not that big of a problem. Since the Jordan River was only about 100 feet wide at Gilgal, where they crossed. But God brought them to the Jordan River at the time of harvest. We read in chapter 3 and verse 15 of Joshua. And during that time, it would swell to an impassable width of over a mile. Raging waters that presented an obstacle. But God would bring them across. It was flood time and the waters were raging. And the Israelites are camped along the Jordan River. And on the other side of that river is the promise of God. On the other side of that river is God's best for them. The enemy nations were in the way. The fortifications were in the way. The Jordan River was in the way. There's many things in the way. And we can say, this keeps me from enjoying the life that I could have, this person, that person, whatever. The truth is, you're to get past it and possess what God has for you. Right before us is the enjoyment of God's best on earth. Right before us is a better and more enjoyable life on earth. Right before us is a higher plane of spiritual living. Right before us is a life of sweet fellowship with the Lord. A life of communion with God. A life of greater experience of God. A life of victory. It's right before us. And we're told to go in and possess it. But there are obstacles. There are obstacles in the way. Some of those obstacles have been placed by Satan. Some of those obstacles have been placed by God. And some of those obstacles, we place them there. We build our own obstacles. Some of those obstacles are literal. Some of them are a product of our own imagination. But it really doesn't matter if the obstacle is literal or if it's a product of your own imagination, if it keeps you from that life, does it really matter? No. You have to get past it, whether it be literal or whether it be in your imagination. If you're going to enjoy that life, you have to get past the obstacles. The reality is there are many things that stand between where we are and where we should be. Many things that stand in the way where we are right now spiritually and where we ought to be spiritually. That's an undeniable fact. But the question is, what are we going to do? Are we going to settle for something less than what God has for us just because Between us and the other side, there's something in the way? Or do we see what God has for us, it's worth getting past whatever is in the way? It's worth it to get past that obstacle. The Israelites serve as a warning. They failed to enter. They could not see past the obstacles. And they settled for something in between. They wandered in the wilderness. So the obstacles have to be overcome. We saw this morning that unbelief is a big problem and keeping us from going forward to possess the land. That brings us to our second point in possessing God's best and in overcoming the obstacles. There must be faith. There must be obedience. And it must be a faith that is living. It must be a faith that moves us past the obstacle. Again, right before us, it's right there. Is God's best for us? We ought to long for it. We ought to long for the most abundant spiritual life that is possible for us. It's right there. And we ought to long, but there are many obstacles standing between me and God's best, between you and God's best. Right before us is a wonderful life with God. But there's things in the way. How do we get beyond the obstacles? How do we get beyond the obstacles and possess what God has for us? Well, we, like the Israelites, we have the blessed and sure promise of God. We have that. In Exodus chapter 23, verses 22 and 23. But if thou shalt indeed obey his voice, and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy unto thine enemies. What's God saying? He says, I will fight the battle. You just do what I say. And an adversary unto thine adversaries. For mine angel shall go before thee, and bring thee in unto the Amorites, and the Hittites, and the Perizzites, and the Canaanites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, and I will cut them off. They're stronger than we. Yes. But the battle's not ours. It's God's. And they're not stronger than Him. Notice also Deuteronomy chapter 9. Again, we have the promise. We have the promise of God. The life is right before us. Deuteronomy chapter 9, begin reading with verse 1. Hear, O Israel, thou art to pass over Jordan this day, to go in to possess nations greater and mightier than thyself. But you are to go in and possess them. Cities great and fenced up to heaven, a people great and tall, the children of the Anakims, whom thou knowest and of whom thou hast heard say, who can stand before the children of Anak? Understand therefore this day that the Lord thy God is he which goeth over before thee. How does he go? As a consuming fire. He shall destroy them, and he shall bring them down before thy face, so shalt thou drive them out and destroy them quickly, as the Lord hath said unto thee. Speak not thou in thine heart after the Lord thy God hath cast them out before thee, saying, for my righteousness the Lord hath brought me in to possess this land. But for the wickedness of these nations the Lord doth drive them out from before thee. Not for thy righteousness or for the uprightness of thine heart dost thou go to possess their land, but for the wickedness of these nations the Lord God doth drive them out from before thee, that he may perform the word which the Lord sware unto thy fathers Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Understand. That's the second time he's told us to understand. He said it back in verse 3. Understand therefore that the Lord thy God giveth thee not this good land to possess it for thy righteousness, for thou art a stiff-necked people. He says when you do possess it, realize it's all by grace. It's all by the grace of God. But in verse 3, there is a call to understand. Understand what? Understand that the Lord thy God is he which goeth before thee. Understand that. Get a hold of that. You do not go up against these enemies. You do not go up against the fortifications. And you do not cross the Jordan by yourself. He goes with you. Understand that. We need to grasp that the Most High, the Almighty, the All-Knowing, the Sovereign One, the Creator and the Sustainer of the universe, the Faithful One, the All-Sufficient One, the Unchanging One, it is He that goeth before thee. We don't have to deal with these obstacles in our own strength. And if you deal with them, and if you try to deal with them in your own strength, that's your choice. And you'll suffer defeat. But you don't have to do that. God has promised us that He'll go with us. The very one who created the universe with a word says, I'll go with you. The one who rolled back the Red Sea, brought Israel over on dry ground. The one who is able, the one who knows, is He that says, I will go with you. The very one who can lift us up. The very one who can give us the strength we need and shield us and guide us and provide our every need. It is He that goes with us. So does it really matter how big the obstacle? Does it really matter how menacing the enemy? No, it doesn't. If we understand that it's God who gets us past the obstacles, it doesn't matter how big the problem is. It doesn't matter how great the enemy is. It is He that goeth before thee. Nothing greater than Him. No enemy greater than Him. No walled city greater than Him. No river greater than Him. And even though hell is on a rampage today, it is He that goeth with us. And even though the people of the world spew out their vileness and their wickedness and their abomination and their heresy and their blasphemy, and this can be intimidating, and even though it is Satan who opposes and hinders every step of the way, and even though the world puts one obstacle up after another, understand this, it is God that goes with us. So go in and possess the land. It's right there. It's right before us. It's God who goes with us. There's no reason why you and I should live in the wilderness. There's no reason why you and I should dwell somewhere between Egypt and what God has for us. We have the promise of God. So we are to see God. We are to think God. We are to focus upon God. The obstacles are there. There's no denying it. They are there. But there's God. What do you see? Do you see the obstacle? Or do you see the obstacle in God? It determines where you're going to live your life. So there is God. We can seek Him. We can rely upon Him. We can depend upon Him. We can lean upon Him. We can come to Him. We can cleave to Him. We can embrace Him. And we can draw from Him. He's right there. Doesn't matter what the obstacle is. There is God. So right before us is God's best. Don't allow the obstacles to block your view of God. When that happens, you're in a heap of trouble. Don't allow that to happen. Don't let anything block your view of God. Don't allow the obstacles to prevent you from possessing what God has for you. 10 of the 12 spies, all they could see was the obstacles in the way, which caused them to say, "We be not able. Yes, the land is right there, but we can't have it. God's just teasing us. He's not going to allow us to have it. We're not able." And it is true, we're not able. But understand this, it is God that goes before us. We don't have to be able. He is. And we just need to lean upon Him. But Caleb and Joshua, they saw the obstacles. They weren't oblivious to the obstacles. But they saw God in the midst of the enemy nations, in the midst of those fortifications, the Jordan River. So they didn't view this as a dead end. The 10 spies, they viewed this as a dead end. This is as far as we can go. We can't go any further because all of these things are in the way. And they viewed it as a dead end. Can't go any further. But Caleb and Joshua, they didn't see it as a dead end. They saw it as an opportunity to trust God and see what God can do. And every time you think you have come to a dead end in your spiritual life, don't look at it as a dead end. Look at it as an opportunity to trust God and watch what God can do. And that's where God had brought His people. So in closing, right before us is God's best for us on this earth. It's right there. And it's ours. It's ours to possess. But between us and what can be ours, there are obstacles. There are barriers. But there's something else also. There's God. And we need to see God. And seeing God, it's He that goes before us. Seeing God, we move forward. And we reach for what God has placed before us. And you keep going forward and you keep reaching. And eventually, you grasp, you lay hold of the wonderful life that God has for us. And then when you do, you realize it's all of grace. It's not because of our righteousness, because we are a stiff-necked people, God told the children of Israel. Oh, how we need to face the obstacles. Don't pretend they're not there. They're there. We need to see them. But we need to see them in comparison to God. Not in comparison to ourselves. And then we need to listen for the instruction of God. And focus our mind upon God. Consecrate ourselves to Him. Follow Him. And expect great things. Why? Because He said He would do great things. And then possess the abundant and thriving spiritual life. And then again, Deuteronomy 9:6, when that happens, realize it's all the grace of God. In other words, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. It's all by His grace. God has called us. He's called each and every one of us that are saved to overcome. Not to be overcome. The world is filled with obstacles. Our hearts are like little fortification manufacturing plants. We manufacture in our own minds fortifications. God is greater, and we are not to be overcome by any of these things. We're to overcome, and we do so by trusting God. Moving forth, seeing God. So, that we would not be a people that come near to the promises of God. And all God's people are near to the promises of God. But choose to live in the wilderness instead. Because all we can see are the problems. Oh, that we would not be like the Israelites and spend our time wandering between Egypt and Canaan. That's not where we're supposed to live. We're supposed to live the spiritually abundant life. But that we would be like Caleb and Joshua. And they were in the minority. And there still are today. But that we would be like Caleb and Joshua. Believing God. Trusting God. Possessing what God has for us. If you read the list of the spies, Numbers 13, verses 4 through 15, you have Shemua, Shaphat, Igal, Paltai, Gadiel, Gadhai, Amiel, Sether, Nathbai, Guo. Do any of us remember any of these folks? I mean, if we were to ask anyone, list the 10 unbelieving spies, there aren't too many people who can do that. You know why? But you'd say, list, give me the names of the two who stood faithful. And we all know that. Caleb and Joshua. My point is, Caleb and Joshua were remembered. no one knows the others. Because their lives didn't make a difference. But the lives of Caleb and Joshua made a difference. And if we want to make a difference in our families or wherever, you got to cross over and you got to live in that life that God has promised us. And it is those people who will make a difference. The other 10, no one knows. No one knows. In fact, they're never mentioned again in the Word of God. They're insignificant. God help us to be like Caleb and Joshua. Men of faith. Men who were not oblivious to the obstacles or the problems, but they could see God. There was God. And that was their focus. And they moved forward. And they did. You get over to the book of Joshua. Caleb and Joshua inherited the promise of Canaan. But they believed. They saw God every step of the way. So there it is, it's right before us. An abundant spiritual life. Why would I want to settle for something less when it's right there? It's right there. Trust the Lord. And move forward. Just keep moving forward spiritually. And as you live that life, there will be the enemy nations crop up. But you just keep on following the Lord. You just keep on doing what's right. Well, they did such and such. That has no bearing on our behavior. Or it shouldn't. No matter what anyone else does, we're to do what's right. Whatever they do, however wrong it might be, however hurtful it might be, you do what's right. And you'll advance spiritually. You will not advance spiritually by getting down to the level of those who do wrong. Well, I have the right to do them wrong because they did me wrong. Your spiritual progress has stopped. It's stopped. You're not going any further. You do what's right. You take the high road. You do what God would have you to do. And that is how we advance spiritually. Just do what's right. Just follow God's instruction. It seems so simple, but we know because of our human flesh, it's not simple. We know that. But really, the answer is simple. Just trust God. Brother Larry, if you'd come and